fishing all the time. Keep it going fishing too.
Well, well, well. What do you know? It's time for a fishing report. Leif Seberg is in here. How you doing, Leif?
Oh, not too shabby. Good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, man. And we were talking before we go on the air. We just sort of kind of, you know, hook everything up. And I'm surprised at some of the things you told me about the river.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
And this time of year, it's not just river. We got lakes and stuff to cover. So stick with us. We're going to be talking about all that. Let's start with the river because you were saying that we got a lot of water still.
Yeah. You know, we've got a decent amount of water, but it's also very, very reminiscent of the just historic trend that you'll see there on USGS if you check it out, the 60-year average.
Yeah.
And yesterday, my boss and I at the kelp facility were kind of checking it out, and we overlapped it on top of last year's flows, excuse me. And what we found were, you know, just a complete contrast in difference there. They were just, now we're looking pretty historic, like I say. We're right around, you know, 500 to 700 is where we should be through November, December, most of January. Then it kind of slowly starts to pick up. And then your big spike should be right there in March. And it should come on pretty fast and be done pretty fast.
Okay.
Last year, in comparison, we had this, not a complete spike, but a sizable hump, like back up to 2,000 CFS, 3,000 CFS in December.
Mm-hmm.
So greatly above. Dropped off a little bit, made things a little bit easier to start our collection of steelhead brood in like February, but immediately started to kick right up and just stayed up in almost the top peak for a matter of months rather than just a matter of weeks.
Well, and it was kind of what got us talking about several times over the year of if there is a climate change going on that, instead of snowpack, we were going to get runoff.
Right.
And last year made us think that.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's not to say that's how weather cycles work.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's always been a cycle to our weather, and now we're just kind of overlaying that on top of global warming or vice versa, or climate change, because it could be, different in various places.
Right.
Some places could be getting colder. Mount Shasta is just about ready to hit a record, like 11 feet in 48 hours of snow.
Wow.
So that would have a lot of climate change deniers saying, see, it's still snowing, but that still means somebody else on the other side of the earth isn't getting their water or something is going on over there.
And
we have been seeing documented rise in the sea temps too. So and overall our groundwater averages are slowly warming up too, even here inland.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, interesting. You know, that's kind of a long, drawn-out story there.
Yeah, but I do love to look at it through the lens of the fishing report because, like you said, some of those seawater temperatures, that affects some of these fish coming back. Some of them had a hard time making it through that warm zone that they have
and
out
that,
there.
Yeah, and that, like we've talked about recently, is why we're looking at such a short steelhead year. We had those 2 years of that blob, the super El Nino thing out there, and that really messed up their ability to feed, pack on the pounds, and come back. And so... We're seeing kind of, you know, some of the fish had waited and are coming back as two salts. We're seeing a lot of two salts, and they're pretty big. But, you know, hopefully in the next year or two, we'll see how the water out there got a little bit better now starting this year. So the next few brood cycles will be better after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, however, we've been blessed with the whitefish season.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. What's the river doing?
You know, it's if you weren't at the right parts of the river, you'd think there was nothing going on. My buddy Jesse down in the Libby Creek area, you know, he called me and he's like, you know, you're fishing at all? I said, every day, you know. And at that point, it was before our last cold snap. And, you know, if you're up in the higher river, you have a completely different river than further down because it has, one, less time to run on top of the surface and cool down, and two, it has more groundwater input up here.
Okay.
We have more springs in the upper valley. And so, you know, you'll notice that Winthrop also has two very large spring creeks coming out in that area out of the two hatcheries.
Mm-hmm.
Although man-made spring creeks, you can't deny the temperature change that you get from the well water coming out of those as well, which can vary from time to time, you know, during the year. But overall, we have a few groundwater inputs up here in the upper valley that we don't in the lower valley. And some of those tributaries really help cool it down. I noticed below the Twisp is a lot cooler.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people probably see that giant stack of ice down at the bottom of that thing. It's pretty cold.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that too. But you've been seeing a lot of action, like you said, up higher.
Yeah, so long story short, I've been going down about as far as the big hole that's by the Cannon Beach North area there, there's a big piece of bedrock, which there again has some groundwater input. Any place you have big chunks of ground or of bedrock, you usually have groundwater force to the surface at that point. So not only that, that sucker is real deep. So you're aiming for these real deep runs, or even some of the shallower ones, as long as they're slower. You know, it's all about a slow speed. And you could even have some current next to the portion of the hole that you're fishing in, that you're fishing up towards the head of the hole, but on the inside, like we've talked about. Yeah. But essentially what I've found is that as long as you're fishing that upper part of the river, the temps are better, the fish are bitier. And really the golden rule is to get that sucker slowed down as much as possible. And I'm talking not just a natural drift speed of the current, not just half the current, but if you can, like one third the speed of the current with your stuff going along. That means it's going to almost be snagging or be snagging sometimes. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of easier in that it's a tiny hook. So usually when you lift up, it'll come right off whatever rock or whatever it's stuck to. Or even, you know, they're just so light a hook, they will stretch right out if you just really slowly pull on them, and they'll straighten out, and you can bend them back when you get off that rock or log or whatever whatever you're stuck on.
Okay.
So, you know, the fish have been really responding to these scud patterns. I've been just tying this little pink or orange scuds, chronomids, and, you know, just the small fare. And what it really takes is just taking your time, you know, and really having confidence in the stretch of water that you're fishing, because, you know, the conditions can lead you to think that it's not worth fishing or that it might not be productive. Mm-hmm. But all I can tell you is if you really think it is and you really slow down, you really put your best drifts into it, you'll be rewarded. And it hasn't even been taking me long. You know, I've been going out just a little bit midday and having results within three casts a lot of the time.
Lunch breaks.
Yeah. Really? You gotta feel happy about that.
Yeah,
so,
that is good.
You know, and that, for that matter, is pretty much the time of the day. Noon to about maybe 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Is going to be your time of the day to be fishing, because it's just warm enough to have your rod be able to keep working, and the water's warmed up a little bit. Some of these days I see coming up, these 35 to almost 40 degree days, you'll be able to start right at, you know, 9, 10 in the morning and fish all day, and those should be outstanding days of fishing.
Well, I got to ask you, because since you have been sort of rewarded with some steelhead, have you been trying whitefish?
I've been trying my butt off on the whitefish, the truth, and completely surprised that I've seen the couple steelhead I had in the upper river. It's just not something you usually see at this time of the year.
Oh, really?
Quite frankly, myself, the best bycatch I would really wish for right now would be just one of those big, beautiful cutthroat. And it would... You know, it's just always been a mystery to me what these trout necessarily do in the wintertime, or maybe it's just the tiny amount of them that are in there. And I guess, you know, you're not technically supposed to be targeting them either, but they're not a listed fish, so you don't have to quite worry about it as much if you get one on there. Still, you know, treating them with care and respect and just getting them back in there. But I just always find it such a reward after working with salmon and steelhead for so long to see the variation in in wild fish. Mm-hmm. And I've always had a thing for our cutthroat, as I'm sure you know, with all the stories of Hank the Tank and Captain Awesome Pants last year. You know, they're very unique, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really into that. So if I could just see a couple more of those, please, fish gods, that would be awesome.
Well, maybe next time we talk, you'll have a story there.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm trying those areas where I know I've got them in the summer. So like I say, I'm just kind of stumped. I'm almost ready to throw on my dry suit and swim around and go, are they there? And they just don't like what I'm doing, or what's going on?
Do a little research, man.
I might just have to go put on my seal suit and go swimming.
That would be fun to see.
So, you know, like we were saying though, warm days, river,
yes.
Cold days, lake.
Okay. And lakes. What have you seen out there? Have you done much? Lake?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. You know, it's been fun. Got an opportunity to get Andy out there on the ice again over at Leader.
I saw the pictures. Yeah, that was good.
That was kind of, you know, it was like a hit and miss day. And of course, my buddy Corey told me right after we walked away, oh man, that's when it really got good.
Of course,
But I think that kind of is a thing over there. That would have been right about 4:30 or right about, you know, sundown. The light's really starting to fade from the sky. And most of my luck has really come On the ice has come at like pre sunup or post sundown. You know, it's just you wouldn't think it would matter, but somehow it does.
Well, so, in a way that works to keep you busy because you can hit those at either end of the day and be on the river in the middle of the day.
Oh so man, and makes for a long you bet day. I have done those.
Yeah,
I think one day I actually pulled off fly fish, snowboard, ice fish. So that was a really long day, but you know, that's the things you could do. Oh, that's what it was. I snowboarded down to the lower end of Patterson because I found it just quicker to get down there that way from my car.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty cool, hitting the ice with my auger in hand and pole on the other and snowboard on my feet. Oh, it was extreme, dude.
Yeah. That's the way we do it here.
No, but it's, you know, like I say, it's been a great winter and I see some temperatures really coming online that are pretty good. We've got good ice. So even if it warms up, it might slush up a little bit on top, but it'll still be strong and safe underneath. So you could be ice fishing and having a lot of fun. Kane told me that he got into a bunch of crappie up at Crappie Cove, this portion of Patterson that we fish, and also his personal best perch in a while. That's exactly what we're out there for.
His personal best perch, I got to ask.
It was right around or over 13 inches. So those are greatly bigger than those little dinkers that you kind of spend all day catching sometimes. If you get two or three of those, your pan is full of beautiful fillets.
Interesting. Okay.
So, you know, it's just been great there. And with these conditions, I see the warming coming up, the river's going to get really good again too. So,
right.
And maybe even more of it. You know, if we get up into the 40s, we could be fishing down into the Carlton area again too. So that would be really fun.
Did I hear you talking about a whitefish discount trip?
Yeah. You know, I just find it ridiculously tough sometimes to get people to fish here in the winter time, but gosh, it is so nice out there, and there's so many good days.
Absolutely,
that I just really would encourage people. Say you're over here and your friends are cross country skiing or something, and you'd rather don some waders than spandex. Mm-hmm. You can hop in with me. I won't say it's less exercise sometimes, but it can be.
Yeah.
You know, but it's super fun, and it's definitely worth it. I wouldn't put it out there if it wasn't. But I want to make it worth people's time, and you know, I'll make a great discount. You know, just maybe $200 for a couple of people for a half day.
Sweet.
You can't beat that. I just want to get people out there and prove to them it's so worth it.
Oh God, standing in the river anytime, in the winter it can be
so
magic.
Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll keep you warm. I'll take care of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Kaner's got a similar thing going with his ice fishing too. So he'll take a group of folks up there for just a little bit of money too.
Sweet.
Same thing. He just wants to kind of get some experience testing all that gear that he's been buying for all his clients up there. He's got a great heated shack, a bunch of cool poles. We've been dialing in his video games, his fish finding equipment.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun, man. And cool. So, you know, that's a great way to spend the winter.
And what was his business called again?
You'd find him at Heavy Hitter Guides. And he's on Facebook there. You can find him there. You can also find Matt Howe Fishing Adventures on Facebook. You can call me at 509-429-7298. Or you can email me at MattHowFishingAdventures@gmail.com. And, wasn't there something you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yes.
Your name for somebody.
Your name came up the other day as part of one of the Met House skills.
Yeah.
You're going to do a fly tying class on the 18th of February.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I used to be able to tie a few basic flies, so I wanted to ask you now, who would this class appeal to?
Well, I'm really doing this class for you know, beginners and people that have just been interested in it or maybe done it just a little bit.
Okay.
Or even people that have done it longer and just kind of want to see the bugs that I'm using.
Okay.
I think anybody of any skill level could benefit from it. Not that I'm the best fly tire in the world, but I feel that, you know, everybody kind of has their own styles, and I've kind of honed mine to this area. And so we'll be tying a few of the bugs that not only that I use here, like the Chronomid and what I call the Pond Monster, a friend of mine, Matt, an electrician around here, came up with. So it's not actually my fly, but it's one of the ones I found works so good in the in the lakes. It's kind of like a woolly bugger, but it's even a little bit easier to tie. So just not only, you know.
So are we going to be bringing a vise and some...
I will be providing vices and tools, and those will be part of the part of the price of the class. So hopefully, you know, I want people to be able to walk away with stuff that's gonna make it possible for them.
So even somebody who doesn't have the tools yet could Play around and figure it out.
And you know, if you have some gear, we can definitely work on reducing the price. I just like take the cost of the tools off the class. Just really want to get some folks, down and maybe get a little club going, tying some flies. That's the third thing. It's either ice fishing, river fishing, or if it's too brutally cold for either, sit inside with a nice, glass of scotch and tie some flies.
There is that option. So if you want to find out about that class and others, go to twistworks.org and work that out, because it's coming up and it would be a fun skill to have. If you don't have it yet, you can get it. Okay, February 18th, twistworks.org. Anything else?
No, I just have to say thank you and good to see you, man. Hey, take care of each other out there and get that fish right.
Right on. Mama in my life, I'm fishing. My mama's gonna fishing and the baby's